The Health Fix podcast is sponsored by Blue Blocks. That's BLUBLOX. Those guys are blue light blocking glasses. And let me tell you, I have been using their computer glasses for over a month now, and I have not had any headaches. I'm not feeling fatigued at the end of the day, and I am feeling great. That strain from me being on the computer and having these awful fluorescent lights above my head has gone away. So I challenge you to check out Blue Blocks, BLUBLOX, today and see what they can do for you.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and on today's episode, I'm going to be going through some case studies, and we're talking all about hormones, perimenopause, and the herbs you can use to help keep your symptoms in check or prevent symptoms from happening at all. So today's episode came about as I was talking with one of my patients, and she put in a super big request that, hey, a lot of us want to know about herbs and what to do for perimenopause or even preventing menopause symptoms. So you got me, here we are, and I'm going to go through all of that stuff today. Now, first and foremost, before we get into talking about just straight herbs, I want to talk a little bit about menopause. Did you know that menopause shouldn't have symptoms? No. You should just ease right in, transition right in. There shouldn't be that feeling of going crazy. There shouldn't be hot flashes. There shouldn't be night sweats. All of this stuff has been normalized because so many of us have it. Now, why do we have these issues? Because we're stressed out. Because we're not taking care of ourselves heading in to the change. Now, me being in my 40s, I am like, okay, we're approaching that door. We're headed there. And I think a lot of people don't really realize that you need to be preparing for that change at least a decade before it actually happens. Now, because we don't know for sure when it's going to happen, I'm all about let's prevent some stuff at any time. You're listening to this podcast right now, so start today. So I'm going to go into some series of herbs that can help to prevent symptoms from getting worse and helping to prevent you from having any menopause symptoms at all, which is the ideal thing, right? So I mentioned stress. Now, what is the gland that is like in charge of our stress? It is the adrenal glands. The adrenal glands communicate directly with your nervous system, and in particular, that vagus nerve. And that vagus nerve is your nerve that runs your whole entire body, and it regulates inflammation, no inflammation. It kind of regulates what's going on in the body at any given time, and it sends signals to your hormones, to your blood vessels, to be like, uh-oh, we're on fight or flight mode. We need to protect, you know, this particular organ. So put all the blood into the muscles, and let's run away from things. Well, being in a state of fight or flight isn't ideal. And most of us are because of the world we live in. We have multiple tasks that we have to do. Maybe you have multiple children. Maybe you're taking care of your parents. There's lots of different situations and scenarios. But the issue is that as females in particular, we do not slow down to take care of ourselves. Why? Because we try to take care of everybody else, the neighbors, the cousins, the uncles, and the extended family. People you don't even know you're trying to take care of. And this is what happens to us. We're caregivers, we're naturally givers, and we give everything and we don't put anything to ourselves. We don't give ourselves what we need. So this is first and foremost, get your stress dialed in. That's why I talk about it all of the time. The book End, the book that I talk about all the time, The End of Stress, this book from Don Joseph Gowie, The End of Stress is probably one of the best books because it gives you step-by-step detail what to start working on to help you to like put a stop in your day to what you're doing to stress yourself out or how you're thinking about things to stress yourself out. It changed my life, and I really hope that you guys look at it. I'll put it in my notes at drjkrausnd.com, but that is The End of Stress, Don Joseph Gowie. Check it out. You will find good nuggets in there to help you get your stress under control. Now, in addition to that, you can add some herbs. And one of my favorite stress herbs for ladies in particular is rhodiola. If you've been into my practice, you've heard me probably mention it. The Vikings took it to recover from the battlefield and this, that, and the other. But honestly, goodness truth, I mean, every day is like a marathon for many of us. And this is a big deal. we need to be protecting ourselves from the day in, day out stress. Now, a lot of people will be like, Doc, I don't have stress. My life's great. Then I'm like, okay, what's going on up here? What are you saying to yourself? What are the stories that you tell yourself? Do we have mental stress happening? Because a lot of times if life's easy peasy and someone's still struggling with health issues, I'm going up here. I'm going, what is that narrative in your head? What kind of stories do you tell yourself about yourself? I've been there. I've told myself some crazy stories about myself that when I asked other people who are close to me, they were like, have you lost your mind? Seriously, got to check the mental stories in the head because that can be the other external source of stress. And this is what you need to hammer down. Because the more stress that you have, the more that you are going to be depleting yourself day in, day out. And this is where rhodiola comes in. All of my athletes get rhodiola. I take it after workouts. It is like the thing. I find that it's really extremely useful for folks that have a little bit more of a tendency to binge after work or binge in the evening as well. Rhodiola and L-glutamine have been the things that consistently with patients of mine that have evening binge kind of disorders where it's just like mama bear gets in the kitchen and just goes nuts. The combination of rhodiola and L-glutamine can be extremely helpful. So there's one quick case study as well. Now, in addition to rhodiola and looking at overall adrenal gland preservation, if you will, Romania root, which is a common Chinese herb, is something that I use as well. I like to use Romania root in folks that are super depleted and that have kidney issues. Now, a lot of us will go to our conventional doc and the doc will look at something called the CMP, which is a metabolic panel. And that metabolic panel will have something on there that tells you about your filtration. It says GFR. So if any of you have your labs at home stored on like a database or you have the actual paper labs, go look at this and see where your GFR is. This is your filtration of those darn kidneys. The adrenal gland sits right on top of the kidneys. It's like this little triangle teeny weeny gland that sits on top of those kidneys. And so they're connected here. And so that's why I jumped to talking about kidneys. Now that filtration rate of the kidneys has a lot to do with blood pressure, has a lot to do with swelling in the body, has a lot to do with lymphatics and how well you circulate your lymphatic system. If you're not familiar with the lymphatic system, lymphatic system flows right next to your blood vessels. It's kind of like your drainage ditch. It detoxifies and pulls things from the body, takes it back to the heart so that the body can pump it through the liver and detox. Now, the lymphatic system can get super bogged down and mess with your fluid balance in the body and then mess with kidneys. Kidneys can also be messed with by taking way too many supplements and too many supplements that have fillers in them. Things like magnesium stearate. Yes, sometimes I do recommend vitamins that have that, but I don't want someone on these things long term. So looking at how many supplements do you take? What's an average number of supplements to take? I really don't like people more than 5 to 6 things. I mean, that gets crazy. Now today we're going to be talking about herbs. Now, are herbs like supplements? Let's clarify this because a lot of herbs can be in a capsule form. And in that capsule form, you have the potential for fillers. I like using herbs either in a powdered herb form or a liquid herb form known as a tincture, or you could make a tea. But teas require time and sometimes that stresses people out a little bit more. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit today too about what I do with patients to make things easier in the herb department. Now, I diverted a little bit on you. So if you are keeping up with me, we got to go back to talking about looking those labs for the kidneys. Look to see where your GFR, your filtration rate is. If that filtration rate is under 80, your kidneys are not running optimally. Your doctor's not going to say anything till it gets down to 60 or below, because that is considered the range in which you're starting to head into kidney failure. But 80 and below of your kidney filtration, we need to talk. You need to back down on how many supplements you're taking. Now, do you need to quit eating tons of protein? Well, if you're doing equal to your body weight, you might need to back down on the protein a little bit. If you don't even know how much protein you're getting, it's probably not an issue. This is something we can talk about. If you guys are interested in this, shoot me a message, because this podcast is an example of if you ask me questions on something, I just may do a podcast on it. So the other thing about kidney filtration is really that there's a number that goes with creatinine and there's a number that goes with something called BUN, blood urea nitrogen. If any of those are out of alignment or out of normal, now we're going to see some issues too with the kidneys. So this means that your body is not filtering well, and it means that you got to take a step back and go, well, wait a minute, what is my overall health looking at? Like, I've had plenty of patients lower the amount of supplements they're taking, clean up their diet, start eating non-GMO, start eating organic, closest to nature, and the kidney function returned. In fact, I'm working on this right now with the dog I just rescued, so stay tuned. I'll let you know how that goes. But this all started because I was talking about Romania root. Romania root is a common herb that I use for folks who are super depleted, building up kind of fluids, your ankles swell pretty commonly, hands in the morning are puffy and swollen. These are things that are a sign that you're becoming depleted. Fatigue is a hallmark of this as well. And in many Chinese herbal formulas for support around the perimenopausal time, Romania root is in those formulas. In particular, here goes my Chinese, so if you're judging Chinese, I'm very sorry, I'll probably butcher this, but bajintang is a type of herbal that helps you to kind of fortify your body, strengthen you back up. And for a lot of people, bajintang is great for keeping us in check as we're headed into menopause. So that's a Chinese herbal. It is in a pill. It is in a powdered herb form, as well as something called granules. And I do recommend that you talk with a Chinese herbalist if you're going to go down these routes. But the point of the bajintang is that there's something called Romania in it. The other most common Chinese herb, by the way, just as a side note, is something called Lu Wei Di Huang Wan. Now, both of those were a mouthful. I will write them down in my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. So take a look at that. But it is called Lu Wei Di Huang Wan. This is also a typical Chinese herbal that's used to help support you for perimenopausal symptoms. And typically, I will have people using it when there's menopausal symptoms like night sweats and insomnia as well. It's a supportive herbal formula. Once again, the hallmark in there is that Romania. Now, if you're like, I don't want to mess with the whole Chinese herb thing, Romania root in a powdered form, you can get that from Mountain Rose Herbals, or you can get it from Bulk Supplements. Bulk Supplements has these white bags with the orange logo on it. Great stuff. I do use that with patients. So you have options with that. Now, what would you consider in terms of using rhodiola versus Romania? Rhodiola is for someone who's stressed out and starting to just notice the symptoms of overwhelm, feeling fatigued after workouts, feeling fatigued at the end of the day, just feeling drained in general. That's where you want to be going towards the rhodiola. For Romania root is someone who's just tired all the time, maybe can't even do a workout, just feeling depleted as all get out. That would be where I would do the Romania root. Now, would you combine them? Absolutely. I've done that especially after marathons, after I have done a big push with the promotion at work or something of that nature. I definitely will use Romania root and rhodiola together. And the way that you want to be thinking about these two guys together is to help with recovery from your days. Prevention here. And 1/4 teaspoon of each, by the way, if you're doing a powdered form, you can throw it into food. You can throw it into a smoothie. I wouldn't throw it into water. It's too gritty. It'd be gross. But that is the way I take those. That's the way I also use them for multiple patients of mine to help them kind of regain their strength in general. After, say, a marathon, after a triathlon, after a big event, stressful event, a divorce, things of that nature, or just when life just keeps building up and things keep happening. That's the best I can describe there. And what they're doing is helping preserve you along the way. Now, and they preserve your kidney qi. If you're into the whole qi thing in Chinese medicine, it's your batteries. They're preserving your batteries, which are your adrenals. Your adrenals are your batteries. They're in charge of your hormones. They're in charge of your electrolytes. They're in charge of your neurochemicals. All of this is a big deal. You want all of those guys to be as fully charged as possible heading into the change with menopause. So would I recommend doing rhodiola or Romania on the regular if you found one worked better for you than the other, or the combination, like straight on going into, you know, 67 years old? Yeah, I probably will do that. And probably actually, who am I kidding? I will do that. And in fact, one of the things I can mention right now about the 1/4 teaspoon component, I actually make up a whole spice mix with my herbs, a little salt, a little pepper, a little garlic salt, and I will actually use that as my base for my food when I eat, because it works out for me to just get it in on a regular basis with meals that way. So if you struggle to get in your herbs, consider putting your herbs into a spice mix and just making sure you pinch out and put what you need as you go throughout the day. Now, Romania root and rhodiola taste kind of leathery and earthy, so you want them with savory foods. You wouldn't want to mix them with something that was sweet. In a smoothie, because of the amount of it, you could get away with it. So something to think about there, just if you're looking at flavor combinations. I will put my spice mix combinations in the show notes at drjkrausnd.com, so don't panic about that. All right, so now I've talked about for the depletion. I want to talk a little bit about excess. So meaning someone who is feeling super anxious, super fired up, jittery, overwhelmed, just life is just moving too fast and you need to put on some brakes and slow things down. If this sounds like you, you might want to consider ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an Indian herb that is incredibly useful to help to calm down the nervous system, and in particular, lower cortisol and lower DHEA levels. DHEA is the hormone that we signal from the brain to the adrenal glands, and it helps us to create hormones. Now, a lot of times what will happen as we're getting older and moving towards that change into menopause, what will happen is that DHEA level will slowly decline. That's natural. But unfortunately, I'm seeing DHEA levels like in the tank in ladies who are in their 30s, early 30s. So this means they've depleted themselves and they don't have a lot of adrenal reserve going into menopause. So we have to fortify them with some herbs to help them to not have a terrible switch into menopause. So one of the biggest things that I love about ashwagandha is that if you're feeling like you're having a super stressful time, or say you're in a job that you're working a night shift or you're working as like a policewoman or a firefighter, these kind of folks really need some help with balancing the adrenal glands. I see a lot of firefighters, women firefighters in particular as well, in my office. And one in particular just came in not too long ago and was telling me like, gosh, you know, I feel like I'm too young to be jittery and anxious and having to clean at the fire station because I can't get out of my head with the jitters. So we gave her some ashwagandha and it calmed her down. It really worked to kind of get that focus and even keel going. Now, ashwagandha, I typically will use Gaia Herbs. This is a company that has liquid capsules. The herb is in the capsule, nothing else, so it's simple. That way, if you don't like tinctures, that alcoholy flavor with the alcohol, the alcoholy flavor with the herbs, you can still get the herb in a good concentration. And Gaia Herbs is 400 milligrams per capsule. I often will have people go up to around 800 milligrams a day of the ashwagandha to help calm the nervous system down, lower the DHEA. Now, how would we know if DHEA is elevated? You want to have it drawn via blood, DHEAS. So it's DHEA sulfate. If you want to ask your doc for that, get it done in the morning. Let's see where you're at. Also, cortisol can be done in the blood in the morning. You can always see how high cortisol is or how low. Now, sometimes what I'll see is cortisol will be way off the charts in addition to the DHEA, or I'll see both super low. Sometimes I'll see DHEA high and the cortisol low. So there's kind of a mix of things that could be happening there. But overall, your circadian rhythm is what wakes you up. So you should have elevated cortisol in the morning, but your DHEA shouldn't be off the charts in the morning. That's a stress reaction. And that leads to burning out of your adrenals over time. And it's going to give you a heck of a time headed into menopause. So right now, if you have a stressful day and you start feeling jittery and you can't seem to come off of it, or in the morning, if you're feeling like every morning you're like, you wake up and the anxiety is just there, a lot of times ashwagandha can be extremely helpful. Now, for some people, taking it in the evening is better than taking it in the morning. And in fact, I've kind of switched towards having most people take it in the evening unless their morning response is such a height of anxiety that we need to kind of temper things down. Most people in the evening do better. Now, ashwagandha has been getting a lot of bad rap lately, saying that it affects thyroid function and doesn't get the full results with people. Let's put it this way. Your adrenal glands and your thyroid work hand in hand. If your adrenal glands are messed up, and you actually need ashwagandha, by stopping it and not doing it because of your thyroid, you're not doing yourselves any favors. So really the answer on this is, those of you who have thyroid conditions, if you want to prevent anything from happening in the interaction between the thyroid meds and ashwagandha, put your ashwagandha at night. You're going to take your thyroid meds during the day anyway, so you'll have a split there. So that answers that, because I do get that question often. Ashwagandha is fine. I actually like that herb quite a bit. It's been a game changer over the years. So if you're feeling super fired up and amped, this is what you want to do. Now, I think this is a good time to also say that, you know, if you're exploring what to do around perimenopause, it might be really worth it for you to get your saliva cortisol tested, just to know, like, where is your adrenal gland at? When you do saliva cortisol testing through ZRT lab or you do it through Labrix, you're gonna know what your DHEA is saliva wise too. So that's kind of cool. You could do that if you're not interested in doing the blood version of it. So check that out. You can even order these tests online yourself these days. And it's a 4-point cortisol. So you do it when you wake up, you do it before lunch, you do it before dinner, you do it before bed. And now you know what's going on throughout the day. And essentially, it's going to tell you how healthy are your adrenal glands, because that is the crux of menopause. If you go into menopause and your adrenal glands are healthy, not going to have symptoms. If your adrenal glands are super wonky, super depleted, or super in excess state, you're going to have more symptoms. That's just the way it is. All right, so let's dive into some certain symptoms, because I know that a lot of people are probably sitting here going like, all right, that's great. I want to know what to do, what I have now. So anxiety, let's talk about that first and foremost. Probably one of the most common symptoms heading into perimenopause. A lot of folks will be like, oh, I was super chill, and then all of a sudden I started worrying about crazy things and becoming obsessive about X, Y, or Z in my head. And I don't know how to calm my brain. So one of my favorite herbs for calming anxiety is L-theanine. And what it is it's an amino acid extract from green tea, of all things, which is kind of crazy. So there you have it. I love L-theanine, but I love to combine it with either ashwagandha or holy basil for anxiety. And in particular, nighttime anxiety, holy basil is awesome for this. Holy basil is an Indian herb, again, Ayurvedic-based herb, and it is tulsi, if you're familiar with seeing the teas, T-U-L-S-I. Sometimes I'll have folks just drinking tulsi tea in the evening as their wind down routine. So if you're used to grabbing wine to wind down, get yourself a tulsi tea instead. It'll make the world of difference for you. In fact, you want a great combo that helps a lot of my ladies calm down? Passion flower and the holy basil and hibiscus tea. Why? Because hibiscus helps drain the lymphatics, but it's also purple and pretty. Who doesn't love a pretty drink? So, you know, you could buy yourself some umbrellas and throw it in there too if you need the whole flair for chilling. But here's the thing. Holy basil, passion flower, just one bag of each, and then hibiscus tea, I'll typically do a bag, or I'll put my notes there for you in terms of how to make the little night chill tea that I like. I sometimes will add chamomile to it as well. German chamomile is great for helping to ease into the evening if you have anxiety in particular at that time. Now, morning anxiety is a different beast. I typically will use the L-theanine. L-theanine comes in capsules, 100 or 200 milligrams. I like the 200 milligrams. I like to bust them open and drop it underneath my tongue because we can get faster absorption there. You can take up to 1600 milligrams of L-theanine a day. So you can split it out if you know you're going to have a really crazy day where you might be super nervous or anxious. Game changer for a lot of people. So those are kind of like my go-tos. I'm going to look my notes because I wrote notes for you guys here just so I had them all down. Talked about that. Ashwagandha is another one I already talked about. Oh, and California poppy. This one's not as widely used. It's kind of a folk medicine, old school herb, if you will. I like it when extreme cases of anxiety, I will combine holy basil and California poppy. One dropper full each under the tongue. Or if you don't like such the strong herbal thing, put it into a shot glass, add a little water and do a shot. I like those too. So California poppy, look into that if you've got some serious anxiety going on. Now, I am talking all about herbs, but I'm not talking about herb-drug interactions. If you are taking pharmaceutical medications, you gotta double check with somebody on these. This podcast would be like a 4-hour long one if I went into interactions. But if you're not taking any medications, these herbs are good to go. California poppy is a great, I don't know how to explain it. It's a great, like, herb for when things are just hitting you fast and you're at the brink of just losing your shit, literally. California poppy. Get that sucker on board. Now, my next thing I was wanting to talk about is insomnia. Insomnia is a problem for a lot of ladies, especially having trouble waking up in the middle of the night, like that 1, 2, 3 o'clock a.m. You wake up the same time every morning and you're like, oh my God, if I could just sleep, this would be amazing. What takes care of that pretty quickly is doing a bioidentical progesterone. I'm not going to lie. It's quick and fast. But if you're not into that and you want to use some herbs, then let's talk herbs. So my favorite insomnia herbs, I kind of mentioned holy basil already for anxiety in the evening and things of that nature. I use it the same way. But I love passion flower, holy basil, and a little bit of chamomile in a combo before bed. Those guys are great. And you can use it like a powder, as I've mentioned as well. Same kind of thing. Mountain Rose Herbals has those. Bulk Supplements has most of them. I can't remember if they have chamomile and powder, but I know that they have the holy basil and they have the passion flower. So I will mix those guys up and get those in before bed. Yes, skullcap can be useful. Jujube. There are other kind of one-off, let's put it that way, formulas where you can mix and match and play with it. Herbalism is much like personality. And in some cases, I have to look at someone's personality to be like, oh yeah, that herb's going to be better for you. So if you're wondering the personality of these, holy basil is for someone that needs a chill pill. You just can't settle. You're like waking up in the middle of the night and you're like, boom, lights on in the head. And you're just like, and I have to do this and I have to do that. And I got to do this and that has to happen and this and this and ping, 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 ping all over the place. Holy basil. Lemon balm can also be good in that case. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, lemon balm grows like weeds. You could make your own little things. You could put the little leaves, they taste lemony, you could put it into a salad. It's kind of yummy. I like to put it with berries too, just saying. But lemon balm and holy basil can be a very good combo where if you're waking up in the middle of the night, you put a little tincture, so the alcohol-based herbs, put it next to your bed, drop it into your mouth, get back to sleep. I like using those guys. Now, another big thing is there's a company, like I mentioned, Gaia Herbs, something called Sleep Through, S-L-E-E-P, and then T-H-R-U. That product is amazing. There is holy basil in there. There's oat straw in there, which is also a great calming herbal formula. Jujube is in there. Shisandra berry, which I love for when you're angry and frustrated and just irritable. So Sleep Through by Gaia has like kind of, if you want to see like all the combo of the best herbs for sleep and getting the consistent sleep through the night, that would be the other big one that I would highly, highly recommend. I also recommend magnesium. Now, it's not an herb, of course, but it is something that before bed can be extremely useful, as is glycine. Glycine is an amino acid, and for a lot of people who are athletes, glycine is a game changer because glycine helps us to recover at night. And if we're not recovering effectively at night, sometimes we're not going to get quality sleep and wake up early in the morning. And so glycine at 4 grams a night in water, you can put it in and just drink it like a shot. It works well. So yes, not an herb, but extremely, extremely useful in the evening. So now I'm going to check on some of the other things that I don't typically use if I made any other notes here. Passion flower. Oh yes, the Rolora. Can't forget that one. Magnolia and philodendron bark. These guys keep cortisol in check overnight. So it's brand named as Rolora or trademarked as Rolora, but it's a combination of magnolia and philodendron bark. And you could do a combination of the two. It's harder to find philodendron bark. You can find my magnolia bark pretty easy. Now, if you're looking for the combination, it's a powder and you would look for Rolora and whatever supplement brand you find, make sure there's just not a bunch of fillers in it. But this would be something to consider to help you to sleep overnight. A lot of people will use Pure Encapsulations Cortisol Calm or Integrative Therapeutics brand Cortisol Manager. I just don't love Cortisol Manager. There's too many stabilizers in it. I've used it, like it works. And it works in a pinch and I do use it in folks. It's just that I don't want someone on it long term because it's got a lot of fillers in it. So just something to be aware of. But it has Rolora, the philodendron bark, and the magnolia bark in it. So those would be some things to look at for insomnia in terms of just game changers. Now, extreme end of things, I have had people use CBD with a little THC in it to help with sleep. And sometimes that's where we need to go for a little bit. I don't want people using this long term. It's not a long term solution. It's a Band-Aid. It is ultimately a Band-Aid. And why do we not sleep headed into menopause? Because we're having fluxes, and usually it's a flux of cortisol overnight. Either that your cortisol is going too high and you can't sleep, or you're stealing progesterone overnight, so you're not making enough progesterone in the evening to sleep. And then the other biggie is that you're not making enough serotonin to make melatonin to sleep. So adequate sunlight during the day is a game changer for making sure that you are going to keep your hormones, and in particular progesterone, stable overnight. The other big thing is that a lot of ladies don't even make enough progesterone during the evening. Why? Because we've been stressed out all day, so we're making cortisol all day instead. And this is a big problem. We need to be thinking about how to preserve our progesterone, as it's really easy for us ladies to boost up the estrogen and even testosterone in cases of polycystic ovarian syndrome, so PCOS. But the progesterone seems to always be the crux, the factor, if you will. I could probably do a whole podcast on how much I love progesterone and how it saved my life. And really why I'm saying that is because I didn't sleep for years. I vampired for years. I even had to go to taking edibles to try to get myself to sleep because I was super desperate and didn't want to go to like trazodone or some of the medications. The edibles worked, but the issue was is I didn't want to be stoned. I didn't want that feeling. And as soon as I started using progesterone cream, it really did help me to sleep. So progesterone boosters, tahini. This is sesame seed. It's blended up. I was using these too. I use sesame seeds in general, but I like tahini because it digests better. Sesame seeds, I mean, are we really good at chewing seeds? Let's be honest. If they're blended, so much better. So sesame seeds, sunflower seeds, both boost progesterone naturally in the body. And so it is a good thing to have them on board. I typically will have them like the second half of the cycle in something called seed cycling. So day 14 to the start of my period, I am 2 tablespoons of either tahini or sunflower seeds ground up, so sun butter, a day. In the first half of my cycle, it's either pumpkin seeds, it's chia or flax, 2 tablespoons. So day 1 of my period, so first day of flow to mid-cycle, I will do that. That's called seed cycling. I'll put notes on that. But it helped with balancing my estrogen progesterone. And why? Because it's certain oils and their properties help to boost those hormones in your body. But progesterone in particular is what is linked to helping us with sleep. It's also linked to helping us with the hot flashes. It's also linked to helping us with basically that anger and that kind of crazy bitch switch thing that goes on in the brain that just makes you want to like jump on someone and you're like, what the heck's wrong with me? That like moodiness, or that like I really don't like my husband anymore, or I don't really like my partner anymore stuff. It changes that. It helps you to just realign in your brain and be like, okay, I'm not crazy. This is helping me to balance things back out. That's where progesterone comes in. Progesterone is also extremely useful when you have cases where you're getting a lot of rashes. A lot of times in perimenopause, I'll see ladies end up with rashes around their mouths, rashes around their eyes, rashes like on their face and body. And it's like, what in the world is going on? Well, progesterone stabilizes mast cells in the body. So mast cells are what create histamine and create reactions. So how else can we boost progesterone naturally? Via something called Vitex, which is chasteberry. That is a great herb. Gaia Herbs has it. I recommend trying that one out as well. Use what it says on the box to help you. And the other one is evening primrose oil. Both chasteberry and evening primrose oil, the dosage is 1,000 milligrams a day. That makes it easy. I don't usually use both of them at the same time with patients. I will pick one or the other and use it in that case. But I love using
the evening primrose oil or the Vitex Chaseberry to help someone. Sometimes it's a little trial error to figure out which one works better. And I would cycle if you're still getting your period from mid-cycle-ish to start of the period. That way, that's when the progesterone is supposed to be higher. It can help you out. It can help with mood swings. It can help with PMS. It can also help you to sleep. So keeping that on board, what is my ultimate sleep formula? That's a good question. I get that asked a lot. And ultimately, it's a little bit of trial and error based on the individual. If someone is athletic, I usually will use magnesium, glycine, and holy basil or ashwagandha to try to get that calm going down overnight. If someone is not athletic and is not pushing themselves to the limit in terms of a workout but has a super stressful life, I'm going to use holy basil in that mix. And so oftentimes I will use holy basil combined with a little evening primrose oil and possibly even consider a little ashwagandha or L-theanine at that point. So you'll see how I can combine it in those particular areas. So you want to mix and match and play a little bit. And when I say combining the herbs, I'm talking either powders or tinctures. I don't use necessarily capsules as much just because of the stabilizers like I mentioned before. Now, got to check back to my notes here. Now, I definitely wanted to talk about some vaginal issues. Yep, the dry vaginal issues. That happens as we start to get into menopause and perimenopause. And one of the best ways to work on that is estriol. Estriol is the weakest of the estrogens that we have. And it can be used as a suppository or as a cream. And I personally like suppositories. You start with it once every single night for a week or 2 weeks. And then you end up doing Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And then I have some people who do it just once a week just to help lubricate and heal that tissue in there. Now, this is if pain is quite bad down there, things are super dry, sex is not enjoyable, consider some estriol. Now that's not an herb, of course. I'm talking about a bioidentical hormone. Now, if you're looking for something herbally, I highly recommend considering coconut oil, olive oil, and even possibly some vitamin E. That really just helps to lubricate and heal the tissue. There are some lovely compounding pharmacies wherever you live that would be happy to make you some suppositories to just heal the tissue up a little bit. You want your vaginal tissue to be healthy as you get older, because this is how older ladies end up with bladder infections. Our stuff down there gets dry and sticky. The microbiome doesn't work as well down there. And now infections happen. So this is a big thing. Keep your vaginal tissue healthy. All right, that was my public service announcement on that one. Then my next thing is talking about cramps. A lot of people will start to have cramps and really heavy periods as we're phasing out of our menses. And sometimes it's related to fibroids. So it is important to talk to your doc, get a transvaginal ultrasound, know what's going on in there. Know if you have cysts on your ovaries. These are big things to pay attention to. And if you're having cramps, there is Jamaican dogwood, which is known as Pisidia. That is the type of herb. And there's something called cramp bark, which sounds, you know, pretty much makes sense. Viburnum is its name. And both of those combined can be amazing for helping with cramps. Magnesium is also, as is vitamin B6 at 50 milligrams. Magnesium, I'm typically going around 500 to 800 milligrams for this one. Magnesium glycinate is the magnesium form of choice. Seeking Health is the brand that I love to use because it's a powder. Dump that into a smoothie, dump it in a dinner, like a little part of your dinner. Boom, done, you're over it. So I love to use magnesium for a lot of different period issues. You'll hear me say that over and over again, and I know it's not an herb, but it's a great aside or adjunct formula. But looking at cramps, there is a formula from the company called Vitanica. And did I write it down? I don't think I wrote it down. Dang it. It's a cramp formula. It has cramp bark in it and it has Jamaican dogwood. So those two herbs you could get on their own tincture form, the droppers. You could drop them under your tongue if you're having cramps and see how that goes. But oftentimes that combined with magnesium or B6 at 50 milligrams, like the three of them can be like a great combo for you. So that would be what I would try out there. Now, if you're having trouble with heavy, heavy periods, shepherd's purse is an herb that can slow things down. Extremely useful in this case. And there is a formula called Slow Flow by Vitanica that I would use to help to, you know, slow this down as well. I like the tinctures. They're easier. Just drop them under the tongue. Go for it. Acupuncture can also help in this case. Now, let's talk a little bit about libido and headed into menopause. Progesterone's a big one. Like I already mentioned, it can help you just overall feel better about your partner. I don't know what it is, game changer, just something to consider. And like I said, Vitex, which is Chase Berry, and Evening Primrose can help you boost your progesterone. Or you can also do the seeds, which is the tahini and sunflower, to help boost that up second half of your cycle. Now, Damiana is a aphrodisiac type of herb that also can help, as can something called horny goatweed. Go figure, that's name fits it. But those two can be extremely helpful, and you would use those like on an as needed basis. I usually have people start using those about 4 to 6 hours before you want to meet up with your partner. So something to think about there if you're gonna go for that. Now, last but not least, there's a lot of inflammatory things that I see going on with the uterus in general as we head towards menopause. And polycystic ovarian syndrome is common in terms of having irregular periods, in terms of having cysts rupture and things of that nature. But it also lends towards the possibility that there's more just inflammation in general in the uterus. So I will use quercetin in this case. So if you're having super crampy periods and you're just feel inflamed, maybe even the area is just swollen, quercetin, 500 milligrams a day. See if that helps to kind of de-inflame things. N-acetylcysteine, which is an amino acid, otherwise known as NAC, it helps to boost glutathione. That can also be extremely useful. I use that at 1200 milligrams a day. And then there's turmeric, old-fashioned turmeric, game changer sometimes for inflammation conditions in the uterus. So if you're having really heavy, just nasty, crampy periods, it may be that you need to de-inflame the area as well. What also helps is eating a whole foods diet closest to nature, cleaning up the animal products that you eat, grass-fed, grass-finished beef, or pasture-raised poultry, or wild-caught fish. Just pay attention to where your food comes from and making sure that it is not processed. The more refined sugars, the more processed flours, things of that nature, the more you're going to have trouble with inflammation in the body in general. And it's going to beat up on your adrenal glands because it's another type of stress for your body. So I've gone through all of my favorites in terms of herbs for the body as we head into menopause. But the biggest thing and biggest takeaway that I hope that I've imparted on you from this that I started out with is the stronger that you can make your body, the more resilient you can make your body to stress, but also all the creepy creatures out there in terms of viruses, bacteria, et cetera, the immune system, the better off you're gonna be. And ultimately, taking care of your gut is going to help you to take care of your body for menopause as well. So I've done multiple podcasts on how to keep your gut lining healthy, and this is another thing that I absolutely recommend that you look into when you're looking at the total picture for your body and your health as you head into menopause and preparing yourself for menopause. This is the time to like clean the diet up, clean the stress management up, really dial it in, and just start to take care of yourself. If you do nothing else but start taking breaks during the day, that's going to help you. The herbs are there in the moment for when you need them. And I will definitely put together a notes for this podcast because I know I threw out a ton of herbs for you, and I'll put out my protocols there. Now, keep in mind, this is not substitute for doctor advice whatsoever. Please consult with a functional medicine doc, a naturopath, or your doctor on all of this. I am not substituting medical advice here. I'm just giving you what works, what I use, what I've seen, and just planting the seed that really the better you take care of yourself, the better things are going to be heading into perimenopause and menopause. So, you have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. I hope you all have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Health Fix podcast. This podcast was brought to you by Blue Blocks, the blue light blocking glasses. If you follow me on Instagram, you will see me wearing my computer glasses. Those are the Galaxy version. They're fabulous. I have not been having headaches in my office thanks to those awful, awful overhead lights that we have. Those buggers are blah. So anyway, blue light blocking glasses, game changers for your health. Check out them at blueblocks.com.